Still to the book of Psalms, chapter number 121. Once again, thank you for coming out to the house of God today. Chapter number 121, the book of Psalms. It's believed that chapters 120 through 136 are actually songs that the Hebrews would sing as they made their way to Jerusalem each year for the feast of Passover, the feast of Pentecost, and the feast of Tabernacles, three feasts that all the Jewish men of a certain age were to go to Jerusalem and celebrate each year. And these are songs that they would sing. We're told that four of these 17 psalms were written by King David. That one was written by his son Solomon, and the others were written by someone unknown. And the 121st psalm that I'm going to be reading was one of those that we do not have the name of the writer. Someone unknown. I'm going to read the scripture. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this day forward, this day forth, and even forevermore. And may God bless the reading of the Word. Notice, if you will, the promises and the assurances that are given to us in those verses that I've just read. Have your Bibles open. The first two verses, God is seen as our helper. What a thought. And another scripture, the Bible says, He's a present help in the time of trouble. In verses 3 and 4, God is our keeper. When you get to next to the last book of the Bible, Jude said, He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. I'm glad today that He's our keeper. Amen. In verses 5 and 6, God is our protector. He's our sword. He's our shield. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. He's a shelter in the time of storm. The Bible says when the enemy comes against us, He will lift up a standard against us. He's all that we need. And in verses 7 and 8, He's our preserver. He will be there for us. In essence, it's like the song that we sing, He is my everything, He is my all. Then another course that we sing, He's all that I need. Have you found that to be so in your life? He's all that we need today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to use the first two verses for the thought for the day's sermon. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord which made heaven and earth. I want you to see a picture. I don't have it the screen down and with a picture of that part of the world to show you today, but if I could, we don't have it in the proper topography, one part higher than the other. I want you to notice that it was God that picked out Jerusalem, His city. Keep that in mind, even what's going on in the world today. Jerusalem is God's city. I heard Oral Roberts preach 50 years ago this year, 1964. And I heard him preach and he said it's like Jerusalem was a diamond on a purple pillar. Beautiful, shining. He said Jerusalem is like that. God has placed it right where He wanted it. In the center of the earth. Of the world, the Bible says. And so Jerusalem, if you'll keep this in mind, Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, was built on the hills. And then the people would come forth to the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles. They would come up from Hebron, or from Bethlehem, or from Jericho, or wherever. They would come up to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was 2,700 feet in elevation, higher than all of these others around about. And that's why when they would leave the north in the Galilee, they would say, we're going up to Jerusalem. When we say we're going up, we're going north. But when they said we're going up, it wasn't going north, it was going up to Jerusalem on the mount. And as the Hebrews would make their way to Jerusalem for the feast, when they would turn that last corner, or when they would see Jerusalem off in the distance, they would begin to sing some of these psalms. And this is one of them. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And they would go on and sing the various songs as they made their way to Jerusalem. There's one thing in the first verse that I want to clarify. I want us to understand. It was not that the psalmist expected help from the hills or from the mountains. We are living in a confused age. We're living in a time when people worship almost anything but God. We've got people that worship the earth. In fact, we even had Earth Day the other day. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had Christ Day every day? People are tree huggers, earth worshipers, naturists. Their God is nature. I want to know whether there's something greater than nature if the God that created nature. Amen, amen. Everyone, if we could only realize today that they were not going up in, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, so much coming to my help. The help wasn't coming from the hills. The help was coming from the God of the hills. Amen, amen. He had his abiding place in the Holy of Holies. He said, I will be there. I will make my presence real there. He's saying now, he wasn't looking to the hills. He was looking not to creation, but to the Creator. Hallelujah. He's looking to the one who made the heavens and the earth and all that is therein. My help cometh from the Lord. And the sad part this morning is, the Bible tells me that there are so many that came a time in their life that they needed help. They needed someone to come to the rescue. They needed someone that would be there to lift them up and encourage them and strengthen them. But oftentimes they looked to the wrong place. They went to the wrong source for help. And I'd like to use some illustrations along that way this morning. According to the 31st chapter of the book of Isaiah, and I'm not going to have you turn there, but I'm just going to read a verse. When the southern kingdom of Judah was being attacked, it looked as if they were going to be overrun and be destroyed. The enemy come against them. And the Bible said these words, and the people of Judah turned to Egypt for help. And when they turned to Egypt for help, God sent Isaiah the prophet with a message and said, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek they the Lord. I think what an indictment that is. They were in need of Abraham. They were the seed of Abraham. And they were the chosen people of Almighty God. God had taken care of them for centuries and been with them and protected them and blessed them. And now there's a need. There's a need in Israel. And rather than call upon God, they turned to Egypt. Stay with me here. This is so important. You know what we oftentimes do? We turn everywhere but to God. And when we get down to the end of ourselves and the end of the rope and don't even know anything else to do, call the church to pray. Somebody pray. Somebody get a hold of God. The Bible said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills when we come to my help. My help coming from the Lord. My help coming from the Lord. Here is the people of God. The chosen people of God. He's blessed them over and over and over again. It's been 700 years since they came out of captivity, out of bondage, out of Egypt. And now God has blessed them and kept them and provided for them and met their needs. And when they have a need and the enemy's come against them, rather than turn to God, they call out on Egypt to come and help them. Listen closely today. I hope everyone will understand. Turn to God. Call on God. I might mention this again, but I want to mention it right here. The Bible says the arm of flesh will fail you. You'll have a need. You'll need someone. Sometimes you'll call on a friend and the friend won't be there. You might even call on family members and the family member will let you down. Sometimes maybe even the church. The church doesn't have time. Whatever it might be. Lift up your eyes to Him. I've even read stories how that people for years and years and years kept their heads down when they walked. One man found something of value one time. And from then on, he was always looking and had his head down. Even string or whatever he'd find, he just whatever he could find had his head down. Listen closely. You'll find nothing there. You'll find it there. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill. There's some sad stories that I've read concerning people that have done that. Their heads were always down looking for something of value, hoping they'd find, stumble upon something. I'm telling everyone today the answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. As you read these verses, he said, they went down to Egypt. And then God says, woe to them that go down to Egypt. But I say, what an indictment. They're the seed of Abraham. They're the people of God. They're the children of God. They've been blessed of God. And now they leave God out of their plans. They go out on their own. It's not a smart thing to do. I'm saying today, when the Lord says, stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth, this is what he says, but when the Lord stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is helped shall fall down. Do you know what Isaiah is saying? If you depend on Egypt to help you, not only will Egypt fall, you will fall as well. If you depend on others, and I want us to depend on one another to be there. We need one another. There comes a time when only God can help. Go to God. Lift up your heads. Lift up your eyes to Him who rules and reigns. Let me give you another story. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 28, there was a king by the name of Ahaz, king of Judah. Bible says these words, he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He refused to go God's way. He decided that he knew best. He would do his own thing. I'm going to take a moment. And I'm trying to get a point across. You'll never be wise in doing your own thing rather than God's way. You will be what the Bible calls foolish. But Brother Jones, I don't believe it. If you don't understand the Bible, you believe it anyhow. But Brother Jones, some people that have told me that it doesn't mean that. You ask God what it means. The Holy Ghost is the author of this book. And the Bible says that the people of Judah, the king Ahaz, he did not that was right in the eyes of the Lord. He decided that he knew best. He would do his own thing. He would go his own way. So I leave this with this congregation and with everyone today. I want God's way. If it's contrary to everything that I know, I still want God's way.
That's right.
Let me say, Brother Jones, I don't understand it. There's a lot of things we don't understand. And I've used some before. I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk and yellow butter. I don't understand it all. I don't understand all this, but if God says it, brother, I believe it. Like one lady said, and that settles it. Don't ever think that you can go your way and do your thing and have the blessings of God if God has outlined it right here. This is the only way. This is the only way. I've heard people say, well, Brother Jones, there's more ways, there's more roads to Rome than one. I know it. There's more roads to London than one. I know it. But there's only one road to heaven. And I'm not going to London nor Rome today. But I'm on my way to heaven. And Ahaz failed God, did his own thing, went his own way. And in the course of time, the Bible tells me that trouble came his way. They were attacked from the south. The Edomites. The little ten boats. They were attacked from the west, the Philistines, Gaza Strip. They were attacked from the north, from Israel, the northern kingdom. Three sides they were being attacked. Looked as if they were going to be destroyed all at one time. It was a difficult time. The nation was in peril. But rather than the king repenting and calling on the people to repent, the Bible says that he called on the kings of Assyria to come to his rescue. Right. Now let me share something with you. There was a preacher. Came into a city. When he entered the city, he began to preach. It was a big city. As he preached, he said, "Judgment's coming! Judgment's coming! Judgment's coming!" And a king decided that man might know what he's talking about. He called for the people, let's repent. Called for the people to fast and pray. The city was Nineveh. The preacher was Jonah. And the Bible says that the king and the people, as they fasted and prayed, God spared their lives and did not send judgment for 100 more years. Because they repented and prayed. Listen to what I'm telling you now concerning Ahaz. The Bible says there's a real need. They're coming against me from Edom. They're coming against me from the Philistines. They're coming against me from the northern kingdom of Israel. And we're being hemmed in. And they're out to destroy us. And so rather than calling upon God, he called upon the kings of Assyria. Let me read the results found in the scripture. And Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came unto him. He called for help. King came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king, and out of the house of the princes, gave it unto the king of Assyria. Let me share this with you. Keep it in mind. He's called for help from Assyria rather than calling upon God. The Syrian king comes up, and now Ahaz goes into the house of God and takes some of the possessions that belong to God and gives them to the king of Assyria. He goes into the palace and takes some of his possessions and gives them to the king of Assyria. He goes into the homes of the princes and gives them to the king of Assyria. And the rest of that verse says, and I hope that everyone will understand, for he helped him not. Amen. He gave all of this to the king of Assyria to help him. And yet the king helped them not. If you have a spiritual need today, you can go to the peoples of this world, give them everything you've got. And they'll be unable to help you like him. Lift up thine eyes. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Sad, but it's so true. The Bible is full of stories just like that. Men in trouble. Men that needed help, rather than turn to God, they turn to the wrong sources. Possibly, most everyone here remembers the Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. People complained that the city and state failed them and they did not have an adequate evacuation program and they were left. I was getting ready to say high and dry, but they weren't dry. Thousands were stranded and complained because the transportation was not available to get them out of harm's way. Others complained about FEMA. They didn't have food and water for those in temporary shelters. Still others complained about the National Guard. If they'd only called the National Guard out sooner, they would have been a great help. Still others complained about the federal government and President Bush. Didn't help soon enough. People looked for help. Cried for help. We saw it on the news. Day after day, stranded by the thousands. Water spilling their houses. People on the roofs. It was a terrible time. They wanted help. But help was not available. That's often the story. Man will fail you. Man will let you down. There'll be times when you need help, but it'll not be there. And I'm preaching to the congregation this morning, the church. And I hope you'll understand what I'm saying.
I did not believe that I'd ever live to see what I'm seeing in the world. I never thought. And things are happening almost on a daily basis. You might have heard this week that someone from the FCC that has the oversight of the television and the news, that they are making plans to put someone from the FCC into every newsroom to be sure that you are providing the proper news. I'll tell you what that's like. That's like Russia. That's like China.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about America now.
Amen. One world over.
Everything is lining up.
Praise God.
The IRS is targeting, and you know it's true, they're targeting people that have any leanings towards conservatism or Christianity. People that have never been, business people, never been audited, everything right on line. And as soon as they found out that they had tendencies towards conservatism or towards Christianity, they've been hit and hit and hit and hit again. Our government, and I love America. I served 11 years in the service, and I would go again if they would have me, if they needed me. I love this country, but we are going downhill fast. Somebody says, Brother Jones, is there any hope? So I'm going to give you an answer. It's not in our mayor. It's not in our governor. It's not in the Congress. It's not in the president. It's not in the governments of the world. It's only in Him. Lift up your heads, amen. Thank God, thank God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. If you're not careful, you'll look around and see what's going on, and you'll become despondent and discouraged and look like everything's falling apart. Don't you believe it? It might be around here, but something's going all over there. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord said, I'm going away. I'm going to build a mansion for you. And when I come again, I'm going to receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. Brother, it's happening over yonder.
Yeah.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill. If you get discouraged, look up! Thank God. Thank God. I don't want to end on a note of those that failed and looked the wrong way. I want to give an example or two otherwise. In the days before Saul was crowned king of Israel, the land was ruled by judges. The Bible says in the book of Acts, that was ruled by judges some 450 years. And when Samuel became the judge of Israel, the prophet of Israel, the Philistines came to do battle against God's people. And in the 7th chapter of 1 Samuel, I'm going to read some words. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, listen to this, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And the Bible says, and Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Amen. Let me say that again. The people realized the enemy was coming against them, and they needed help, and they went to the judge Samuel and said, Samuel, whatever you do, don't quit praying.
Amen.
Keep on praying. Have you ever prayed and seemed like there was no answer? And the devil said, you might as well give up. You're wasting your time. And in time the devil tells you that, that means you better keep praying. He'll lie to you. And here's the people came to Samuel, the judge of Israel, and said, Samuel, don't quit now. Don't cease praying now. Keep on praying. The enemy's come against us. We don't have any hope fighting against them. We don't have any way out. Keep on praying, Samuel. And the Bible says, then Samuel prayed, God heard that prayer. I'm going to leave something else with you. This is important. When the Bible said that God heard the prayer, He heard more than with His ears. He heard with His heart. I want that to sink in. When God hears, it means He does something about it. Some people can hear and forget. They used to say, go in one ear and out the other. When we were growing up as children, five boys, four at that time, the fifth one coming along later, but four boys. When Daddy spoke, you needed to have your ears cleaned out. You needed to hear because he didn't raise his voice another time. He's not going to call all day. Said, son, don't you hear me? One time's enough if Daddy speaks. And it ought to be that way with God. The Bible says, and God heard. God heard. That is a word full of meaning. God heard him when he cried out for the nation of Israel. God heard when Samuel prayed, and God did something about it. I'm glad that he heard my prayer. I'm glad that he hears today. Hallelujah. I'm glad that he's still in control. I'm glad that he's God. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, amen. I want everyone to know today my help is not from this one or this one or this one. When it comes really to my help, he's the answer. Thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. Even I mentioned Katrina. We have found out just recently that the mayor of the city was corrupt and took a lot of the money unto himself, and after all of these years, has now been found guilty of fraud and the rest and in jail, or will be going to jail. Listen, there's a lot of weakness and evil in the world, but look up to Jesus. If you're not careful, you'll become despondent and discouraged and feel like there's nothing good that's happening. But brother, I want you to know something good is happening. The Lord is still God. He's still real. He's still real. Hallelujah. And Samuel prayed and God heard. And God delivered. The Bible lets us to know that when the enemy comes against us like a flood, that our God will lift up a standard against him. Our God will be there to take care of. He's a great big God. And after God did what he did, the 12th verse says, Samuel took a stone and set it between this place and called it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto have the Lord helped us. The Lord has helped us. If you go right down Big Buffalo Road to Simple Farm Road and turn right, you'll come to Ebenezer Baptist Church. Huge black church. A lot of members, and I know some of them. Ebenezer. And as he put this memorial there, Samuel, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And if we could get it today, it'd be good for you to put down a star, or put down a stake, or put down something. Right here is when God helped me. I told you Wednesday night, I was lying in bed, couldn't sleep. I began to go over things that happened in our lives way back. I don't know why it started where it started, but it started when Mike was born in England. A lot of things happened before Mike was born. And for over 2 hours, lying in bed, thanking God for this, and then this, and then this, and then this. Finally, after 2 o'clock in the morning, when I went to sleep, I want you to know I hadn't run out of God's blessings.
Amen.
He's still blessing. He's still God.
Yeah.
When I was thinking about how great God has been, how good his God has been, brother, we could stand right now and we could praise him the rest of this day and not even get started.
No,
he's been good to all of us. And Samuel said, I want you to notice this memorial that I've set up here, too. That the Lord helped us. We turned our eyes on him, and he's rescued us. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, there's a scripture that we often quote. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. A tremendous promise. But listen to the next verse. It's a continuation, says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. And I say, amen. My help cometh from the Lord. He said, I will not leave you, and the Lord is my helper. Thank God, thank God. And that is my thought today. My help cometh from the Lord. In the 46th chapter of Psalm that I mentioned earlier, God is our refuge and strength, a very present helper in the time of trouble. Amen. I want to leave this with you today when he says he's a present help, not tomorrow. Not next month. He's a present help right now. We talk about what we want God to do, and that's all right. We're praying for our God's going to bless us, and that's truly wonderful. I want to know God is here right now. We have no promise of it tomorrow. Brother Ken gave away the request for the entire church. 2 weeks from today, the new pastor will be here. Be assuming the pastorate. We've been praying for him, and you've been praying for him and for the church. And for my wife and I, thank God for all that. But keep it in mind, keep it in mind. There'll be some things we won't understand. There'll be some things we don't know the answer. There'll be some times we'll need wisdom from God. But I want you to know, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. The help is coming from him. And we will need him. And he will answer. Because he's a good God. And he loves us. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Not a statement of something that's going to be. But when troubles and trials come our way, he's there. I'm going to mention just one other scripture. And I'm going to close with the thought, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. When I was going through that list of God's blessings, and I've told it so many times, but I'm going to tell it one more time. On a Wednesday night with a handful of people in church, the pastor called for us to come around the altar to pray. Wednesday night prayer meeting. It was November 1958. I went, I don't know which way my wife went, but I knelt over here, a small church. I knelt right here at a prayer meeting night on a Wednesday night. And while I was praying, God called me to preach. That's the furthest thing from my mind. I only had 10 more years at that time, not quite 10 more years, in the service, November 1958, and I would retire from the Air Force. And I was shocked, and yet I knew it was God. And I went home, and I'm not going to tell the whole story. And I picked up my Bible. I'd been raised in church, but we haven't been to Bible school. God's called me to preach, and here I am halfway through my 20 years in the military to retire. And I went home and picked up my Bible, and I don't never encourage this. Don't just pick up your Bible and open it up and say, whatever I read, that's God's will for me today. Don't ever do that. He might say, Judas went out and hung himself. Amen. You pick it up another place, it says, and go thou and do likewise. And whatever you do, do quickly. Amen. If you're not careful, you'll take scriptures and kill yourself. Amen. I went home and I was reading the Bible and I got to Isaiah. And I came to the scripture. And it said, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Behold, I am with thee. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Two words. When God said, I will be with you, that took care of a lot of it. And when God said, I will help you, that took care of the rest. Amen. If God will be with you and help you, you can make it. Amen. And now after these years of ministering, almost 55 years of preaching, how many times have I leaned on the words, I will be with you. When it looked like everything was falling apart, God said, I'll be with you. He didn't say, I'll be there in the good times. He didn't say, I'll be there when you go to the bath. He said, I'll be with you. I'll take that to mean I'll be with you always. And he's never failed us. And he said, I'll help you. Man, we've had times we needed help. And there's plenty of them. We need help. We need help today. He's still the answer. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Psalm 121. 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes. I'm going to preach my last Sunday as the pastor next Sunday. I thought a lot about that. I don't know what I'm going to preach, but I thought about it anyhow. But all I can say this morning is, we are serving a good God. He will never fail us. He'll never let us down. And if you'll take the words of the sermon thought today, when troubles come your way and trials, difficulties and heartaches and everything else come your way, I want you to do something. Remember that verse, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. There'll be people out to destroy you. The devil has already has a blueprint to destroy this church. He's tried for years. There's somebody greater than him in charge. And God's going to keep on blessing. God's going to minister. God's going to take care. What are you saying, preacher? If I can leave anything in your thought, in your mind today, come to me. I want you to remember that scripture. It'd do you well to memorize the chapter. Do it while you're young. Because when you get older, it's hard to do. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Your help will not come from creation. It will come from the Creator. And He's here to bless. And I thank you, church, for being who you are. And I know some of you today are worn out. It's been a difficult week. You've worked and labored, and put in hours and hours, and then the wedding yesterday, and everything was just so nice, and you did so well. My prayers today is, although your bodies are worn out, that you look to Him and He'll refresh you and strengthen you. Will you stand together?